This is Jonathan Gerland. It's May the 4th, 2000. I'm in the home of Charlie Harbor, and he's going to tell us his memories today.
And, you can read that right there.
Okay.
First.
Mr. Harbor, I just wanted to start. Just tell us your full name and when and where you were born.
Well, let's see. My full name is Charlie Monroe Harbor.
Okay.
I was born in Houston County, just outside of North Bogusloo Clubhouse. I mean, North Bogusloo Club.
Mm-hmm.
Over on what they call Bristow Creek.
Okay.
And then...
How close is that to the Trinity County line?
It's right in there on the Trinity right County line. Right just... Just off, over into Houston
okay.
County, just a little ways.
Okay. And what year were you born?
August 21st, 1920.
Okay. And who were your parents?
My parents was Ellis Monroe Harper and Daisy Harper.
Okay. When was your father born? When and where was he born?
He was born in Missouri.
Missouri.
In 1866.
Okay. Do you know when he came to Texas?
I don't know just what year he came to Texas.
You had mentioned before that your father worked at the Walkerton camp.
Yes.
What did he do? What did he do there?
I don't really know what kind of work that he did at the Walkerton camp, but I know he worked there.
And again, what year did you say he was born? 1860.
1866.
66. Okay.
He died in 1968.
And about what year was he at Walkerton?
1913. And I don't know what year, like I say, he was there any more than that.
What are some of your memories after you were born, your memories of your father? What did he work for the temples then? Or
he worked in, he helped fence Bogusloo. Okay. See, they had that thing fenced and cross-fenced all over.
So this was when you were a young boy that was done?
Well, they started, I guess, before I was born.
Okay.
Really. And then we farmed in there from 19, and I think about 1920 or 1919, up until 1928 we moved out of there.
Okay. Were you living on land that your dad owned?
No, we was living on
okay.
farming for the company there.
Okay.
That's when old man J.J. Ray had that then.
Okay.
Had cattle and
you mentioned
livestock.
Mr. Ray. Tell us a little bit about him. I don't know a whole lot about Mr. Ray.
Well, I was young, and of course I don't remember a lot about him, but
that's what the name Rayville after.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, he was related to Watson Walker, and he was related some way to that feller Gilbert.
L.D. Gilbert,
L.D. Gilbert.
Okay.
So, they started that ranch. See, we're going to make a prairie out of it. And so they deadened all the hardwood timber in the hills. I know my father was in the deadening period.
And this would be before you were born?
I guess when I was small,
when
I don't...
You're small, okay. Early 20s, yeah.
Early 20s.
Okay.
And, see, when they fenced that thing, I don't know what happened, but those deer were shipped in here from somewhere, and I can't even find out where the deer come from. Yandy Stubblefield tried to tell me they started with two deer in that place. But I remember hearing my father see those deer jump out of boxcars.
Hmm.
And some of them broke their legs when they come out.
They brought them in on the railroad?
They come in on the railroad.
On the TSE railroad? The company logging railroad?
Yes.
Okay.
And, but I can't, nobody has no history.
Hmm.
And when this fella interviewed Claude Welch. You
talking about Thad Sitton interviewing Claude Welch?
He tells about him. His father, see, was Claude's father was section foreman, old man Tom Wells.
Okay.
and they saw those deer jumping out of those boxcars, and he asked his father what they were, and he said they was deer.
Again, this would be about the time you were born, just before, after?
Just after.
Just after you were born.
And, see, when they started that thing, they cut that fence. They did everything in the world. They had all, every one of those riders in there, they put a pistol on them and a 30-30 rifle and told them, you protect this. They finally ended up killing the man in there. Mm-hmm. They killed Walter James.
When was that?
In 1931, I believe, when they killed him.
What was he doing, hunting the deer?
Hunting deer at night.
Hunting deer at night, in 31.
In 31. So they...
They killed him, who would they be? The pasture riders?
Game wardens and pasture riders. They was... I don't guess I should name who killed him, because... I know who killed him, I won't name them, because... And I can name the people that was hard there that I remember. See, my brother-in-law stayed there from 1925 until 43. That's how come me.
That stayed there? You mean lived on the company land?
Oh, yeah, he was a pasture rider.
And what was his name?
Walter Robinson.
Walter Robinson. He's getting a picture of him, I guess.
Here was his game warden commission.
Oh, okay.
And that...
It's addressed to Mr. W.R. Robinson, Trinity County, Rural Route. Somebody cut off the postage.
Yeah.
It says the Game, Fish, and Oyster Commission, the state of Texas. Dated 1942, October 29th. W.R. Robinson of County of Angelina. Let's see, and this is, and what is this exactly doing? It's granting
That's
him
Free Service Game Warden Commission.
Free Service Game Warden Commission.
Yeah.
Signed by
Tucker.
Tucker. Is that William? William Tucker?
Yeah.
Executive Secretary.
Yeah, he was a big...
42.
Here he sits on a horse with now, a deer rope.
Oh, okay. And this is out at...
At North Boggy Slough.
North Boggy Slough.
Now, that was in the 20s.
This is
How
the
far
20s.
Have we progressed on our deer?
Ooh, that's a pretty good size one there. 1920s. Now, did Dad sit in, did you show him pictures like this when he
no.
was here?
Now, there, that's, they had those old big timber wolves in Boggy Slough in those days.
Uh-huh. That's a pretty good size one there.
That's.
And this is also in the 20s?
That's in the 20s. State trapper, government trapper. That fella's name was Guy Burke.
Guy Burke.
And here's one they had caught alive.
Huh. And that's the old railroad in the background, logging railroad.
Yeah, that's it right there. That's at Walkerton.
This is at Walkerton right here. In the 20s. How about that?
And there they had a big hog call.
Oh. They got the chaps on.
Now there's the stock pens at Rayville.
These are some great pictures.
There's a cow picture. That's an inch.
These are some of Mr. Ray's cattle?
Yeah, that's some of their cattle.
Where was Mr. Ray from? You mentioned he was kin to the Watson Walker. Now, was he from Texarkana or Virginia?
I don't know just where Mr. Ray come from.
Who is that fella? Got some glasses on there.
I can't think... all of the old riders in there, one of them was named Frank Rushing, one of them was named Calvin Tyner, one of them was named John Silvers, Walter Robinson, And that's about as far as I can go on those old riders.
Now, Walter Robinson was your brother-in-law. And I assume he married your sister?
My oldest sister.
Your older sister. And what was her name?
Viola. She's still in a nursing home, 95
years
old.
95 years old. In the nursing home in Lufkin?
Yeah, she's out there. There's a picture of that.
Okay. Yeah, we've got that postcard.
Yeah, I figured you did have.
Yeah. Well, those are great pictures there. I'm going to talk to you more about these after we get through with the tape.
I want you to look at that.
Yeah. It's just here. Chief Copperhead Killer, Charlie Harbor at TSC Water Tower, Eastern Lake Club, 1974. And so that's the water tank that they would have fueled the
locomotives. That's where they fueled the engines. Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, that was
Oscar the Road Builder, Charlie Harbor. Straw Boss. Eastern Lake Club, 1974. Y'all putting in a little
rebuilding
the
bridge
over?
Going into okay. Eastern Lake there.
Okay. 1974. That's great. Well, let's see. I forgot where we were in the interview. I was gonna, I could come back and ask you some more about some of these game that was in the Boggy Slough area. But let's start. When did you start working for the company? You mentioned that you've been a pasture rider since what, 1964?
Well. See, I started out.
Let me back up even further. Where did you go to school? You born there in Houston,
well,
County?
Well, I went to school up there at that old Mount Pisgah. Before I started school, was Mount Pisgah Cemetery. Cemetery and school.
You're right.
The cemeteries all are there anymore. But that's where I first started school.
Okay.
In 1927.
Now, is that name for a place in the Bible? The Pisgah.
I think so. You know, you find it in the Bible.
Okay. Yeah.
Mount Pisgah.
Did you go to high school there too? Did you finish?
No. See it. We moved out of there. We moved from there down to Huntington.
Okay.
And stayed there 2 or 3 years, and then we moved back in the pasture in that on the south end down there.
On the south end.
Yeah. If you've been in there, do you know where Lottie Temple's deer stand's at?
No, sir.
Well, it's right. That was We was the last person that ever stuck a plow in the ground in there. You couldn't. A farm due to the deer. Hmm. Back then, they eat up stuff faster than you could plant it.
And again, that'd be in the 20s?
As in the 30s.
In the 30s. In the 30s. Okay.
Yeah, when we moved back there.
And you said y'all were the last one to stick a plow on the ground then.
Yeah. We finished farming there, right there.
And where did you finish school?
At Kennard.
At Kennard, okay.
See, that school finally it consolidated with Kennard. But they have no record where we can't find no record where that school was ever consolidated in our school.
Hmm. And so you finished school, I guess, in the late 30s?
Late 30s.
Then what did you do?
I started back to work, come back to work in Boggy Slough for D.C. Kinley.
Dave Kinley, huh?
Yeah. Working for Dave in the cattle. And then that's where I got started on this deal. I helped my brother-in-law there.
Mr. Robinson, Walter Robinson.
I'd help him out what I could with protecting the game.
Tell me about Mr. Kinley.
Oh,
how was he to work for? I've heard he was pretty tight.
He's the tightest man that ever walked. There wasn't no doubt. D.C. Kinley was the tightest man. They say Ed Kinley is his son. He's just as tight as he was.
But I've heard stories of. Some people have told me that when they were boys, he would round them up there in Dieball, and you know that he'd take them out in the woods and do some work, look over some ground or something, some timber, and he'd tell them, "Don't worry about lunch. You know, I'll take care of your lunch." And they'd get out there at daybreak, you know, and the boys would start to get hungry, and finally they'd get to eat later in the afternoon, and all he brought them was an apple.
Oh, you'd get a can of bean, a sausage, and a nickel box of crackers. Back then, you'd get them crackers for a nickel a box. They come in.
Uh-huh.
So that's many a day I rode for a half of one of those little cans of bean sausage And me and another man, we'd eat the quarter pound of crackers.
At crackers and Vienna sausages for a whole day's ride.
And them old ranch style beans, he believed in them. Now they was cheap back then.
I've also heard that he would ride out and just stay with whoever was living out in the woods. Spend the night for a few nights. Did y'all do any there? Did y'all come back to where you, like, I guess you were living out there then, huh?
Well, I was living over there at Rayville.
Okay.
Part of the time, then I'd live with my sister there.
Okay.
But a lot of the times he'd keep me. I had to travel all over the country. He had cattle in Diabol there, where the golf course is now, I guess.
Okay.
He had all of that leased for cattle, and then he had cattle scattered all over the country, and he'd keep me out at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and then I'd spend the night with him up here in town.
So you were working for the Temples and Mr. Kinley?
Well, I was just
too,
working,
huh?
For Kinley then.
Oh, I was working for Kinley, okay.
Yeah.
And what did your job consist of? What were you doing when you were riding out there?
I helped work the hogs and the cattle. Of course, okay. Back then it's pen and hogs then seldom.
Uh-huh.
So working hogs and cattle, and then
was everything pretty much fenced then?
Oh, yeah, still everything, cross fences and all, was intact then.
Okay.
It kept cattle, you know, wherever they had it fenced.
Mm-hmm.
But just riding, the first poachers I ever caught, I was in there below, in there in the old River Club now. What's the old River Club? It's called the Slough then. I run up on two boys in there squirrel hunting.
Hmm.
And I didn't even have a sign of a gun. I captured both of them, brought them out.
How, when you said capture, what does that mean? You got them to agree to come with you? Or?
Well, when I run up on them, they run till they just give plumb out.
Now, you were on horseback, and they were on foot?
On foot.
Okay.
They was in there on Cedar Creek. And when I rode up on them, well, that one boy handed me his gun, the other one wouldn't give me his gun.
Hmm.
So I looked at that one right quick, see if it's loaded. See if I had a loaded gun.
Now, were you pretty young then?
Were you
a young man?
I was 19.
19. And how, you called them boys, how old were they about?
Oh, they were college students from
college.
SFA.
Oh, okay.
They was about 17 or 18, something like that.
What would happen if somebody got caught hunting on company lands?
Well,
what would you do after you caught them?
Well, they usually, I take them to my brother-in-law, and he take them for justice of the peace. And
so you'd actually take them before a court of law or local authority?
See, years ago when they first started that, there wasn't no such thing as trespassing when Bogus Lou was started. So if somebody was caught in there poaching, they got an injunction against them ever setting foot on company land again.
Hmm.
So if he's caught again, he was taken before a district judge for contempt of court. Didn't have no trespassing. See, the first game warden we ever had in this country was 1927. That's when they started game wardens. The first two game wardens was Ellis Ivey and Ennis Jones. That was the first two.
Now they worked for
state. They were state game
wardens. State game wardens.
Yeah.
For the whole state or just this part of the country?
Just this part of the country.
You know where their offices were? Where did they live?
They lived in Huntington. Both of them lived in Huntington.
Okay.
But they spent most of their time in Bogus Lou because that's the only deer there was in the country.
Okay. And it's because, as you said earlier, the company brought them in on the trains.
Yeah.
The two game wardens, the state game wardens, were they from this area or did the state brought them in? Or?
Yeah, they were. Old Enos Jones, his son, what was his name? Was sheriff here. Leon Jones was sheriff here.
Hmm.
He made sheriff state here about 18 years.
And then that was Enos' son?
That's Enos' son.
All right, so now we're getting back to you working for Kinley, looking after his cattle and his hogs and stuff. How long did you do that?
Well, I done that until I went in the Navy in 1942.
Okay, 42.
I got out in 45, and I went back to working for the company and Temple then in 1946.
Okay. Just briefly, where were you stationed when you were in the Navy?
Oh, I spent my time in the Pacific Ocean.
On certain kind of vessel?
Oh, changing.
Several different ones. What did you do there?
Started out, I was an armed guard on a merchant ship. That consisted of, we supposed to have been protecting the merchant fleet, which we didn't have enough protection, had a 5-inch gun and a couple of, maybe 3 or 4, according to how big the ship was, 20-millimeter anti-aircraft guns. And then when it got down to where they wasn't, it was pretty safe, the Coast Guard taking that over away from us, and they put us back on Navy ships. Then I was on 2 troop transports. And then the last thing I was on, I was with what they call Comseron 10, which was, we as a service unit for the fleet. We followed the fleet from one of those islands. When they'd take an island, we'd move and just skip from island to island. I ended up in the Philippines in 1945.
And then you came back and back to working for the Temples in 46, you said?
In 46.
What did you start out doing then after you got back?
Watching that up there.
Oh, okay, back at Boggy Slough.
Yeah,
okay.
I went to North Boggy up there, living in there on Kachina Creek.
Kachina Creek.
That
also called Kachino Bayou?
Yeah.
Same place.
Yeah. And that was named by the Mexicans. You know what Kachina stands for?
I read somewhere, but I've forgotten that.
Big Hog Creek. Big Hog Creek. Yeah, that's. That was a wild country back then. I'll tell you, it's a wonder somebody hadn't been more people killed than what they were.
Now, we talked about North Boggy and South Boggy. Of course, were there distinctions back then? Did they call it North and South?
Yeah. See, back then, North Boggy was nothing but a game reserve. They had that whole thing from that old East Texas Railroad, what they call Old East Texas, from there to Highway 7 was a game preserve.
And just for the tape, the East Texas Railroad being the railroad that went from the 4C sawmill into Lufkin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
And so from there to Highway 7 was a game.
Game. And then they leased it, they let J.J. Collins have it.
One of the attorneys, Mr. Temple was telling me about him just the other day.
Yeah. J.J. Collins got it, and they was Pitcher Garrison, a fellow by the name of Lewis Renfro, who has passed away now. And them three, let's see, I believe, and Martin Dyes, old man Martin Dyes. Them four, Temple let them have it. So
they were the only four that could hunt there?
They're guests. They could have guests.
They could have guests. But other than that, nobody else could hunt in that area. Is that
no,
what you're saying?
Not in that area. But then, everything went fine until they had a meeting and they were going to want to do something about a golf course. The country club out here.
Crown Colony?
No, the one out here on the...
Oh, the Lufkin Country Club.
Lufkin Country Club.
Yeah, the Lufkin Country Club, yeah.
So, the paper mill, Otis Locke, you probably heard him mention.
Mm-hmm.
He was with the paper mill. And they all met, and this attorney firm, they went against Arthur Temple. So Arthur told them, says, get your stuff off the Boggy Slough, because now you don't. You. So that's the way that ended. So that's what started the club. They had their clubhouse and everything up there. Of course, I understand they've rebuilt on it now and made a real nice place out of it.
You're talking about
North Boggy.
North Boggy, okay.
Yeah. But that's how come them to lose that. They didn't go with Arthur on that, so Arthur just told him, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just build my own golf course. So he come back. Yeah. That's what started Crown Golf.
Right. But the disagreement went back even further than that, though, right? What you tell me, that was in the 30s?
That was in the 50s.
In the 50s.
That got up into the 50s.
Now when was the Boggy Slough clubhouse that burned down is now what we call South Boggy?
Yeah.
When was that built? About when was that built?
That was built in the 30s. See, the first Boggy Slough clubhouse was built right on the bank of Boggy Slough down there. Way back in the boondocks there. And it was so bad that and that water got over that road when it...
Now, you're talking about the one that was built in the 30s?
No, before that.
Even before
20s.
That one.
Yeah,
in the 20s, okay. I don't know if we got any pictures of that.
I don't think anybody has. I don't know why. I can't find any. But that was the first clubhouse.
And it was built in the 20s.
Ah.
Now where the... We'll go ahead and tell me a little bit more about that. I'm sorry for interrupting.
But that was built in the 20s. And then they got to a point where they couldn't get in there, so they went up there and built that one on that big pipeline there. Over. And they built a nice clubhouse there. I'll tell you, that was something else.
Now, in relationship... Where the second one was, if we were standing there today, what direction would the first one have been?
The first one?
North, south, east, west?
You've been in there to...
No, sir, I haven't been in to there yet.
You hadn't been in Boggy yet?
No, I need to go, and I haven't been yet.
Well, if they hadn't changed it, if you go in there after you leave in the... where Arthur's Clubhouse and all of that, the old state highway. You leave that, and the first road you come to that turns to the right, and just hold to the right, will take you right into where the old Boggy Slough Clubhouse formerly was.
That's the one that was built in the 30s?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, from there, where was the first one? The one that you said that it got so bad that...
Well, that's one. That's the first one.
Oh, so you're telling me where the first one was?
Yeah, first one. Then they come back and built that one up there where it burned.
Okay. Yeah, I'm still not clear, though. How far apart were they?
Oh, that's a couple of miles.
A couple of miles.
Yeah.
And which direction, the one that burned, if we were standing there today, where would the first one have been? South or north?
Let's see, it would have been back to the northeast.
To the northeast, okay.
Northeast.
And they just pretty much quit using that one because of
due to the water
got up so much.
At one time, they had...
Did they just tear it down and use the lumber for something else?
They tore it down. I don't know what they did with the lumber. But they had that road... with timber, hardwood timber, all the way in there.
Hmm.
It was the only way they could get in. Hmm. And then when the water got over it, they couldn't get in there at all. So that's...
They had old trees laying
there. No, they had timber. They cut 3 inches of hardwood timbers and brought them and made runways and had that for, I imagine, a mile and a half in there. Nothing but...
How far away from the railroad would that have been, where the railroad...
That's a long ways off the railroad.
Long ways off.
Yeah.
He did. We haven't nailed down exactly when that was. Nobody can quite remember.
It was in the 70s.
In the 70s. Oh, okay. That was... Milford, you probably know Milford Ruby?
Yeah. Now, he married one of them Cutler girls.
Yeah, he would tell me that his father-in-law was a Mr. Cutler, and he would tell me about the day that that thing burned, and he told me a story about Mr. Cutler and Mr. Temple and stuff like that. But I was just mentioning that as an example because he couldn't remember when it was or anything like that.
Well, I just wondered why his wife didn't remember it. But
Well, she wasn't there when we were talking. I've never met his wife. Now, he comes down there all the time, but he, we'll need to, I guess, follow up and ask her.
Now, let's see, this Cutler boy, it's in the electrical business. You might call him. He might can tell you when that.
Okay.
But he's in the 70s.
In the 70s.
And
where were you? And y'all were at Easton Lake?
We were at Easton Lake then.
Okay.
When it burned. Okay. Well, he come over there and helped me dress that bear. Helped me field dress that bear. Cutler did.